Good morning. Again, it's good to be with you. And as Bernice shared, the word Emmanuel stuck out to me this week. And as we were looking at that, as I was thinking about that, and then I had a panic attack just a little bit ago because I have Emmanuel spelled like this. I think it's right. It's different than it's in the songbook. And I looked in my notes, and it's how it's spelled in the New King James Version. So I'm like, man, it looks really good when the preacher has his first thing up there spelled wrong. So I just pointed it out to you if you wouldn't have noticed it. I don't know that it's spelled wrong, but anyway, it just to take that off people's minds. If anybody did notice that, my daughter, if anybody would have noticed that. She notices when I mispronounce and misspell things. But it's good to be here this morning, and it's exciting to talk about God with us. And one of the things that I guess I get to touch on several subjects today that I enjoy. And one is that I love about God is that he wants to have a relationship with us. That is, he wants to have a relationship with us. The second thing is that none of these things that happen in the world are a surprise to him. We have a God that is in control, and he has a plan. Nothing is taking him by surprise. He's not shocked by anything that happens. And so we're going to look at that today also. And those are things that I love about our God, that he wants to have a relationship with us, that it's not him. If God feels distance, it's not God. It's us that have distanced ourselves from him. He wants to have that relationship with us. And so this morning, I'm going to read the Christmas story. But as we go through and as we read the Christmas story, the third thing that I like to do that I'm also going to do this morning is I like to read the Bible in chronological order. I just like to get the whole story. And so if you want to turn to Luke chapter 1 and put a finger there and turn to Matthew chapter 1, because we're going to be jumping back and forth. And this actually is very conducive to doing that, because there's if you look at the crucifixion and some of those, it's jumping back and forth a lot. With this one, there's not a lot of jumping back and forth. And so what I want to do as we go through this, I'm going to read the Christmas story. But as what I say about God having a plan is, we're also going to look at the prophecies. So as we get to a prophecy, as we come through here, we're going to stop and we're going to look at that in the Old Testament. And I love it in the fact that there are things that were said almost word for word, 600 years, 700 years, 1,000 years before Jesus was born. That tells me that my God has control. He has a plan. He's not being taken surprise by any of this. And so as we go through here, we're going to start in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 is where we're going to start reading. And then as I come to him, I'll stop and I'll bring up the verses from the Old Testament onto the overhead that we can look at those and compare them to what is being said in the story of the birth of Christ. And there's going to be 9. And I was looking at that. How many prophecies are there of Christ? And there's not a consensus, but it's well over 200. We're going to look at 9 of them this morning, just in the story of the birth of Christ. And then we're going to look at some more, if there's time after that, and looks like there will be. We'll look at some more that aren't actually in this story, but a few on his death and a few that just describe a little bit more of who he is. But if you want to turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 is where we're going to start. And read the Christmas story. Now, in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So we're going to stop right there and look at the first one. We're going to look at having the right. It says, and the Lord, verse 32, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. We want to just look at a few passages for this was prophesied before. And down at the very bottom, I put approximately, these are rounded numbers, how many years before the birth of Christ this was said. And this is in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us his son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is Isaiah about 700 years before the birth of Christ. We have in Jeremiah 23:5-6. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And this was about 600 years before. And as I was looking at this and studying this, we would say, if anybody can say these things 50 years, 100 years before they happen, that would be amazing. But here we have 600 years, 700 years. And here we have another one from Isaiah 11:1. This is from, and we sang about this in the song. I don't know if you caught it. I'm not even sure which song it was anymore. But we talked about the stem of Jesse. Isaiah 11:1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Talking about Jesus there. That was 700 years before. And 2 Samuel 7:12, and this is Samuel talking to David, and so this is about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. This is Samuel talking to David. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Okay, let's go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Then Mary said to the angels, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One, which is to be born, will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her, who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So now let's turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Continue the story. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, and before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with the shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. A virgin shall conceive. Isaiah 7:14, again, 700 years or so before Christ was born. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This scripture points out several things that I hadn't thought about. One is that it points out his divinity. It also, it points both to his human birth and his divine nature in this passage. He was born of a virgin, so he's born of a woman. And they shall call him Emmanuel, God with us. Again, I just have to stand in awe thinking about what God prophesied. And to have these things come true, and you think about it, it's inconceivable. You can't imagine how this has to work. Somebody has to be in control for this to be happen the way that it was said 700 years, 800 years, 1,000 years before. Going back to verse 24 of Matthew 1. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called him Jesus. Now we turn back to Luke. Luke 1, verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days, and I'll stop just 1 second. There's the whole story of what happened with Elizabeth and the miracle of her birth, of her pregnancy, actually, and the whole story of there with her husband that we don't even have time to look at. But there's so many things that God put in place and made happen that it's exceptional. It's awe-inspiring to read. Luke 1, verse 39. Now Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in the remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. And it came to pass in those days that there was a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into the Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. As I had to think about this, as I'm reading this and thinking about this, we talk about, so what's happening in our society, in our government, and how things are going. I had to think about this here. We know that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. How is God going to get Mary to Bethlehem? So we see that Caesar Augustus sent out a decree. That was not just a happenstance. But Caesar Augustus was not a Christian. It was not so the Lord is in control. Again, it was just as I was reading this and thinking about that, it stuck out to me again. The Lord is in control of everything. We think that we need to make sure that the right president is in place, that the right person is in charge of the country. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have some concern about that. But God really is in control. And as we look at the Old Testament, at the New Testament, and we see the Christianity spread, it wasn't, for the most part, because of there being Christian leaders in the government. Actually, for the most part, it was because there weren't. That's why Christianity spread the way that it did. So again, I'm just thankful for God's leading and his directing and knowing that he is in control. So no matter how out of control we think it is, we can believe and trust that God sees it, knows what he's doing, and knows what's happening. Sorry, that was a side note. So let's go back to verse 4 of chapter 2 of Luke. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do to him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to him of all those, to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And then we go back to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." I want to stop right there. The shepherd and the wise men will worship him. We see in Psalms 72, verses 9 and 10, "Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts." And this was shared approximately 1,000 years before Jesus was born. And I had to think about, there's several things here that really stuck out to me as I was studying this and looking at this. Jesus, he came to the shepherds, and we look at the shepherds when they're up here, you know, we do the little nativity scene, they're all nice and clean and they smell pretty good. But I don't think that's how the shepherds really were. They were a pretty low class of people. And being in Israel this last time, we saw how some of those live. And they live in the wilderness and they're not very clean and probably the lowest in society. But Jesus shared with them first. But then he didn't stop there. As we'll see, "Where is he who has been born king of Jews? For we have seen his star," the wise men. That's what I wanted. Whew, went blank. The wise men, which were kings, which were men of high esteem, they were of the highest class. And they got the message. They understood the message. And it just really stuck out to me that God wants everybody to know Jesus. Not just the poor, not just the rich, but everybody. He gave the story to everybody. And that was prophesied way back 1,000 years before Jesus was born. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles and of the isles will bring presents. So we see that happening with the wise men from the east, which some would think were kings. So going back to verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. And we have here again a prophecy from Micah. It's about 750 years before the birth of Christ. Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. And I find it interesting here that the chief priests and the scribes knew where the Messiah was coming from. And I still wonder sometimes, didn't they get the drift? Why didn't they get this? Why didn't they see this? Right here, Herod the king, it says, verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So there was a lot of people that were troubled about this. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So it was the chief priests and the scribes that told Herod where the Messiah was to be born. And they didn't get it. And they did not understand it. Here's this child that was born in Bethlehem. I'm sure there was lots of children born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a town. There's lots of children born in Bethlehem. But you would think if some wise men from a far country came and said, hey, we're here to see and to find the child. So they say, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. So going to verse 7, Matthew 2, verse 7. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country to another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Hosea 11:1. And again, this is in that 600-700 year range. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Going on to verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. Again, we have Jeremiah 31:15. Again, this is 600 years before. And how did God know that this would be the king's response? It's to kill all the children. God knows. Thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Again, it's a prophecy 600 years before the birth of Christ of what's going to happen, that there will be weeping, bitter weeping, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Verse 19, now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee and came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. And that, I was looking for that part, and can't find that, what was said by the prophets. It's not recorded in the scriptures that we have. And then Luke 2:39. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So we have there the story. God with us. Emmanuel. God with us. God sending his son. And we see here 9 prophecies that happen in just this short part. Just about the birth of Christ. There was 9 very clear prophecies. There's some that would be maybe not, that aren't quite as clear, that people say are prophecies, but the 9 clearest ones that I could find, and there are even some of them are directly mentioned here, that God said many, many years, hundreds of years before the event are going to happen. So just to look at a few more that aren't in this God in the flesh, Exodus 3, so this is way back. This is 1,400 years ago. And this is not so much a prophecy as it is Jesus telling us who he is, that he is God in the flesh. Exodus 3:14 and 15, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. And then in John 8:57, we see Jesus talking to the Jews. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And it says they took up stones to stone him. And then as I was thinking about this and studying this and contemplating this, you know, we'll see about his death. We're going to look at a few prophecies about his death. How many times did the Jews, and I didn't keep track of this, how many times did the Jews try to stone Jesus? But see, that's the way he should have died for blaspheming God. That's the way he should have died. He shouldn't have been on the cross, shouldn't have been crucified, he should have been stoned. Again, it is God being in control, God knowing what's going to happen. Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Proving that he is God in the flesh. And it says they took up stones to stone him, but he disappeared to them and walked away, because that is not the way that he was supposed to die. A prophet like Moses, Deuteronomy 8:15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet. This is back in Deuteronomy. Moses talking, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. And in Acts 3:22-23, we see this about Jesus. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren, him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And Jesus will possess the key of David. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. So he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. And this is Isaiah talking about Jesus 700 years later. And then we have before, maybe even a little more, because where we see the verse that I've got here is Revelation 3. So this is after his death. And the Lord, and the, And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. Again, talking about Jesus and his power. So Psalm 22, which is about 1,000 years, written by David. Look at some of these. Psalm 22 was written by David approximately 1,000 years before Christ came. And the accuracy is to the point where some people have said that it was written, had to be written after the crucifixion, because of the wording, almost word for word, and the things that were done. But if you look through, if you look at history, if you do the research, it was written well before his crucifixion. Psalm 22:1. This was written about 1,000 years by David, about 1,000 years before Christ came. Psalm 22:1. My God, why have you forsaken me? And we see that in Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we have in Psalm 22, verse 7, all those who seek me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. As we look at Matthew 27, verse 39, and this is during the crucifixion, and those who passed by him, blasphemed him, wagging their heads, which is like shaking their heads. It says, all those who ridicule me, in Psalm 22, all those who see me ridicule me, they shoot out the lip, they shake their heads, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him, let him deliver him, since he delights in him. So now we go to Matthew 27, and we keep going down to verse 41. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him come down, now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if we will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. So in Psalm 22, verse 8, we see he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And we see here that they were saying that the chief priests and the scribes and elders were mocking him. In verse 43, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him, now if he will have him. He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Almost exactly. Down to the fact that they were shaking their head as they walked by. The detail is amazing. Verse 22, Psalm 22, verse 16 and 18. For the dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones, and they look and stare at me. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Matthew 27, 35. Then they crucified him. And how do you do that? You do that by piercing the feet and the hands. And divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. As I said earlier, the accuracy and the specific nature of these prophecies made people think that this was written afterwards. But it was not. And in closing, we're going to out here just a little early this morning. In closing, again, just the things that I had talked about that stuck out to me in this passage is that God wants to be with us. He wants a relationship with us. And we see that here again. He gave his son. He sent his son. But when we think about the whole process of that, and the older my son gets, and only having one son, the more precious he gets. And to think about that as a father, to give up my son for somebody that despises me, I can't quite fathom that. But to know that God did that for us, and he did it, he knew it a long time before. It just is an amazing God that we serve. And you say, well, God, how can God be a God of love? How can he not be? How can he not be a God of love for what he's done for us, giving us his son? And then the second thing was the fact that God is in control. We see here by these prophecies that God knew what was coming. God knew what was happening, and he did it anyway. That's the amazing part, that he gave his son, even though he knew what was going to happen to him. He knew he was going to be despised and crucified. And I think we look at crucifixion today as some great thing. Jesus was crucified. What a wonderful thing. Being crucified was the worst way, the lowliest way, the most derogatory way that you could die. And that's how they killed our Savior. And I think sometimes we don't get that concept. We get the concept, well, he died on the cross. The cross was an amazing thing. And it was an amazing thing. But what made it an amazing thing is that it was the most derogatory way that a man could die. And Jesus was willing to do that for us. And what a wonderful Savior that we serve. And what an awesome God that we serve that knows what's happening in our life and can be with us. And as we, I think it was last Sunday, talked about the Psalms. I'm not sure where it is, but talks about, doesn't matter where we go, the Spirit will be with us. We can go to the depths of hell. We can go wherever. It doesn't matter where we go. God is with us. His Holy Spirit is with us. Doesn't matter what we're going through. We can be locked away in a dungeon. They can send us to outer space. And God is with us, no matter where we are. So thankful this morning for what he has done. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you this morning for the story that you've given us. Lord, not just the story, but Lord, it is a story of what actually happened. Lord, many today believe that it's just a nice story, a heartwarming story. But Lord, this morning we know that it's the truth. Lord, we know that you gave your son, and we're so thankful for that, that he came to earth to be with us. Lord, that you desire a relationship with us. Lord, God with us, Emmanuel. Lord, what a wonderful promise. Lord, I pray that as we go from here, Lord, this morning, that each one of us can feel that in our hearts, Lord, knowing that you are with us. Lord, if there's anything in our hearts, Lord, if there's anything in our life, Lord, that is keeping us distant from you, Lord, I pray that this morning we can lay those things on the cross, Lord, and that we can draw closer to you. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done. Lord, all that you're going to do. Lord, there's many promises and prophecies that have not been fulfilled yet. Lord, that you're coming back. Lord, we can go with the assurance that prophecy will be true, just as true as what has happened that has already been fulfilled. Lord, there's many more prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. Lord, and that is that if we love you and worship you, we will spend eternity with you. Lord, I pray that each one of us can do that. Lord, help us to be a shining light to those that we meet throughout this week. Lord, this is a discouraging and depressing season for many people. And Lord, I pray that they can get to know you. Lord, that this can be the most joyous season, the most joyous occasion. Lord, that they can have peace and love in their hearts, Lord, in this season, remembering what you've done for them. Lord, I pray for each one. Lord, give us safety as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.